Welcome, everybody. It's Friday morning, just 10 after 7 after 10. I was going to say 10 after 7. That would be an earlier show. 7 after 10. So you've reached the Real Estate Fix with Rich Sherman. I'm your host, Rich Sherman, because I like saying my name twice. And I thank you guys for tuning in. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. It's going to be good. We're going to talk about some secrets about real estate, some secrets how to make things work in real estate, how to kind of be the ghost in the machine, as it were. Before we get going, I want to remind everybody you're listening to KHTS 98.1 FM, AM 1220. And you can, if you have any questions for the show, please feel free to email me. We've got a lot of emails lately. It's great. I answer every single one of them. Happy to do it. If you need some real estate advice or just have some curiosity or some questions or anything else, please email me at thefixwithrich@gmail.com. That email address again is thefixwithrich. No spaces, thefixwithrich@gmail.com. You can also call me anytime. I'm at 661-714-1400. And yes, that is my personal cell phone number. I get that question a lot. 661-714-1400. Now, one piece of business to get out of the way before we get into the show. Disclaimer, every week, because I'm married to an attorney. I am not an attorney, because my wife is. I'm not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I hold a California real estate license, and I have for over 30 years. The options I express and the advice I give is strictly my own. I would encourage anyone who has real estate issues to check with experts, accountants, attorneys, whatever it is you need. And if you do need an expert, give me a call, because in addition to answering your questions, I can also provide you with referrals, because I know all those experts. That's how I got good at this. Anyway, let's talk market update. So I always like to start the show with a market update. Last week we talked about a new term that I learned, which I think is fantastic. I love this term. It's an economic term called the dead cat bounce. I've been studying this stuff for many years. I've been doing this for a long, long time. I have never heard that, and I love it. The dead cat bounce. It's such a great turn of phrase. I don't want dead cats. I like cats, but I just love this phrase. What a dead cat bounces is the idea is even a dead cat will bounce if dropped from a high enough height. And one of the way that applies, the economic condition that refers to is when a commodity devalues really quickly, it'll tend to bounce back up a little bit in value before it goes completely into the tank. See also First Republic Bank. What happened with First Republic is they had all kinds of problems. The bank itself was solvent. It should have made it okay, but there's all kinds of consumer confidence issues with it, which tanked its stock price. And as it went on its downward trajectory, then it bounced back up a second, and we thought we're going to be okay with that bank. And then the downward trajectory continued again, and now they're no longer. And now they have been taken over by the Fed and eventually taken over by Chase. So, yeah, that is the dead cat bounce. And that is what we are in as far as the real estate market is concerned right now. We are very much in the middle of a dead cat bounce. And I can explain that. There are not a whole lot of buyers in the market right now. They're fewer than traditionally. They're fewer than we've had in many years. But there are some. There aren't a lot of there's, and the really big problem is there's not enough inventory in the market right now. We talked a little last week, typical month time frame, month of February, February and March, between February and March, what we'll typically see, like last year we saw about 100,000 houses listed nationwide in that time frame. But this year, there have only been 66,000, so we're down 33% in the amount of listings. But the scarier number when you dig into it is a year ago, of those 100,000 listings that came on the market in that time, 30% of them, I think 32% of them, sold within the first few days. Now, less than 25% meet that same criteria. So houses are starting to sell slower as well. They're sticking on the market longer. That's just kind of the scoop. So the dead cat bounce, but let's talk about the dead cat bounce. So the mortgage applications dropped by 2% overall last week, which is not a big deal. A 2% drop is nothing to get worried about, but 32% lower than a year ago. So there are 32% fewer people seeking mortgages now than there was this time last year. The interest rate, which is what these are tied to, of course, the interest rate last year at this time was 5.36% a year ago, and now it is 6.5. Now, the Fed did raise, as we talked about they were going to. I said it last week, they were absolutely going to raise it, and they did. The Fed raised the interest rate by a quarter point earlier this week. And what happened is, luckily, because, this is going to sound horrible, but luckily because First Republic died, that bank died off, it kept the money in the stock market. They didn't go running to the bond. Sorry, it kept the money in the bond market. They didn't go running to the stock market, and that's kept the interest rate relatively low. So it's good. Actually, what happened is the interest rate dropped from an average of about 6.55 to about 6.5. So not a whole heck of a lot, but anything that's not up at this point is good. So it actually got it to relax a little bit. Let's go over some of these other numbers. Refis are down 51% from a year ago. That's because a year ago the interest rate was 5.36, and now it's 6.5. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Property nationally, and this is where the numbers get a little weird. Property nationally actually went up between February and March, 0.45%. So not a whole heck of a lot, not even a half a percent, but that, you know, that's a significant number when you consider it's a nationwide number. Again, the dead cat bounce, as we were talking about. Unfortunately, though, in California, We lost 0.52% on average in February and March. What's happening is sort of the East Coast and the Midwest is getting a bit more of a bounce out of the interest rate not going up. Again, the dead cat bounce. Have I said that too much? I love that. Whereas on the West Coast, where a lot of these people who look at this nationally would say the prices here are overheated, I don't know that I agree with that. People want to live here. There's a reason for that. But we're not seeing that same sort of bounce. We're going to get a little bit of it, but not much. I still think by year's end, we're going to be down 5%. If we take a look at year over year from, say, December of 2022 to December of 2023, we're still going to be down another 5%. I just know it because we've lost about 10% so far. We're going to lose another 5%. That's just the nature of it. But right now, we're in this great little window where prices kind of bounced up a little bit. We have one in my office we just did. Got the house all renovated, got it ready to go. We're going to talk about a little about that later today. But in the show, we got it all renovated, ready to go. All of our indicators told us the house was worth about $800,000. We're very excited. We figured she'd be able to get that. And the house actually sold for quite a bit more. It sold for $830,000. And the reason for that is not enough inventory on the market. So the house looks good. It's in a good location. Had all that going for it. We got it all polished up and ready to go. So it looked real, real good. But even despite that, we got in a weekend, we got, I think, 15 offers. Of those, we had 7 that we countered. So it was kind of crazy. And this is just a normal single-family home, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's very nice. We put some money in it to make it even nicer, but way too much activity, which is good for the seller, but bad for the buyers. So yeah, that's the bounce we're in. And what it really comes down to is the buzzword is affordability. Right now, houses are less affordable than they have been in almost a generation. And that is a result of housing prices still being high coming out of the pandemic, still getting this little, I love saying it, still getting a little bit of the dead cat bounce. And because the interest rate didn't go up as much, it didn't go up at all this last time around, there are still buyers in the market. I'm concerned with where the interest rate's going to be by the end of the year. That is my concern. I was reading a report this morning where they talked to 3 of these leading economists, and all of them are saying, one of them said 8.5%, which scares the heck out of me, so I very much hope she's wrong. I don't know that she is, but I hope she is. A couple of them said 7.5%, that sort of thing. My take on it is a little bit more generous. I think we're going to be well above the 6.5% we're at now. I think by the end of the year, prices are going to be down about another 5%, but the interest rate's going to be up to about 7%. I hope I'm wrong about both those things. I hope prices are up and interest rates are down because that's good for everybody. So that's kind of the market update. The long shot of it is what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. If you have a house to sell, do it now. Take advantage of the dead cat bounce. If you're looking to buy a house, your reason for wanting to do it now is because there's not a whole lot of inventory on the market, so you can find one you like, and the interest rate's going to be higher. A half a point increase in the interest rate, depending on the price range you're looking at, will usually offset any savings you could get by waiting until the end of the year for the prices to come down. So, or come even middle of the year, next couple of months for it to come down. So you're better off in both conditions. You are better off getting into it now. That's always my advice. Get into it. So, plan. We say that all the time. The more you plan, the better deal you're going to get. You get your mortgage squared out if you're buying a house, get your house put together, get your ducks in a row if you're selling a house. Got to look where you're going to move next. You got to get your ducks in a row. And we're here to help with that. So we've got a couple of things I want to get into today. It's really personal to me because it's stuff that I've seen for years, and it's stuff that we seek to fix. I mean, the name of the show is The Real Estate Fix. My entire career has kind of been that, fixing real estate problems. I handle buyers. I handle sellers. I also handle foreclosure defense and things like that, and that we do for free. Happy to help. We're here to be a resource. That's the idea. That's the point of the radio show. That's the point of my whole career. So under that heading, what I want to talk about today, now that we're past the market stuff, what I want to talk about today at some length, and I mean, I know this is going to sound really exciting when I first say this, but there are institutional deficiencies. Please don't change the channel because I said institutional deficiencies. Hang in this with a minute. You'll like this when I get going. There are institutional deficiencies in the real estate business. There are a lot of them that are obvious, like, for example, having the seller pay the entire commission. So the seller is paying the buyer's agent, yet the buyer's agent's job is to get as good a deal for the buyer as they can, yet their commission is being paid by the seller. And the more a buyer pays for the house, the more the agent makes. Kind of a backward system. Now, there are ways to correct all that. There are ways to deal with all of that. What I tell clients is, the point of the exercise here is to get you guys in a house. But from my point of view, it's not just this one house. I want to sell you every house you're going to buy for the rest of your life. That is not going to happen if I don't get you the best deal we got going in. So the commission needs to become secondary. But there are a lot of things like that. So I'm going to teach you guys, if you listen for the next roughly 40 minutes, I'm going to teach you guys how to become kind of the ghost in the machine. I'm going to teach you how to hack a lot of this stuff in real estate. I've been doing this for 32, almost 33 years now. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. So let's talk first about the resale renovation program. It's a program we have for sellers, like this house we were just talking about. What happens is, this is just a basic idea. Houses in the best shape sell for the most money the quickest. Say that again. Houses in the best shape sell for the most money the quickest. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. Now, as a realtor, the longer I have a house listed, the longer I'm holding inventory, the more money it costs me. And as inventory hold times are going up now, that's going to cost me and every other realtor listening to this. That's just the nature of the business. So, but you can fix that. You can short circuit that. So what we do is we created many years ago, again, going from that same premise, that houses in the best shape sell for the most money the quickest. What I decided to do is I had a client in Castaic who had a great house. They also had four kids and two dogs. And the house had just, well, it's been well lived in. I'll put it to you that way. Great little house, three bedroom, two bath, fantastic. But it had been very much lived in. And they didn't have the money to fix up the house to sell it. Now, in those days, the price of the house was worth about $400,000. They were looking at selling that house for about $350,000. And I thought that was crazy. Because for, you know, a couple of grand, $3,000 or $4,000 in carpet and paint and things like that, just some fixes here and there, maybe $5,000, house is going to be worth $400,000. So think about that for a second. I'm sitting with my client and I tell him, if we spend about $5,000 on your house, instead of getting $350,000, you'll get $400,000. Wouldn't anyone spend $5,000 to make an additional $50,000? I mean, that's pretty good. It's a 10-to-1 return. I would think you would if you have the $5,000. And because I'm friendly with a lot of my clients, I thought, well, this is crazy. I'll give you the money to do it. I'll put up the money. And you know what? I'll take it out of commission. We'll just pay for it that way. It literally will cost you nothing. I will pay for it. They, of course, thought this was a fantastic plan. So we did it, and it worked great. They sold the house for $410,000. So the lesson there was, again, houses in the best shape sell the quickest for the most amount of money. So we decided we created a program around it. We call it the Resale Renovation Program. And what we do is when we list a house, I will go in and I will spend my own money on fixing up your house. So what I'm talking about here is free money to sell your house. What we do. We also do free money to buy a house. We also defend people from foreclosure and all sorts of real estate issues for free. We just are trying to make it a little bit easier. Look, there is a lot of money in the real estate industry. There is a lot of money around. I mean, you're talking about a multi-trillion dollar global industry. Real estate is the single most expensive commodity most people own. It's kind of a big deal. There is enough. This pie is large enough that I can take a smaller piece. The lender can take a smaller piece. Everybody involved can take a smaller piece. As long as they get more pie, they'll still be fine. We can make our, in my case, I choose to make my bottom line a little bit lower so that I have more money to put into the project for the client. This one we were just talking about. They probably would have sold that house, I'm guessing, maybe about $750,000, maybe $760,000 because maybe even $770,000 because the market's tough. But we went in and we spent about $12,000 or $13,000 on this house, some of my money, some of the seller's money, and now we're looking at $830,000. So to spend, you know, $10,000, $12,000 to get another, what is that, $40,000, $50,000? And actually, in this case, worked out to be almost $70,000. That's pretty good. I think anybody would take that bet. I don't understand why people do it. When I'm in the MLS and I see somebody selling a house that is occupied, that is just trashed, and they're going to sell it for a lot less because of the condition of the property, I weep for that seller. This is very easy to fix. Now, most realtors aren't going to step up and put money into your house. It's not their job. I do it because I'm strange. I'm happy to do it because it works for me. It's also a business model. It works for everybody. Works. I've never had a client turn me down when I offer them free money. I've never had a client turn me down when I offer to give them money to fix up their house. And the client decides what they want to do with the money. It's not, I mean, we have to do it together. I mean, don't tell me you want to put in purple carpet because we're not doing that. We have to do things that are saleable to the house. What we look for is every dollar we spend to renovate a property should get us about a $2 to $3 return. And it does. It's at least a 2-to-1 return, if not more. So this is why this is one of the hacks we have for you. If you're looking to sell a house and you want to get top dollar for it, give us a call. We will put money into your house so that you can sell your house for top dollar. The way the program works is we'll give you up to 1% of the projected resale amount of the property. Just give it to you. Here you go. Here's 1%. We'll list the house for less. We'll take a lower commission, but we'll give it. Just give it to you. It's 1%. So if you have an $800,000 house, here's $8,000. With $8,000, you can carpet a house. You can paint it. You do all sorts of stuff. Heck, just paint the trim outside and get the lawn looking nice, which is hard to do with water restrictions, but you can make all this stuff happen. We've got one we're renovating right now in Canyon Country where we talked at length. That house, as it sits, was worth about $725,000. We're putting a bunch of work into it, renovating the thing from top to bottom. We expect to get well over $800,000 for it. I mean, we'll see. You never know how the market's going to go. If we can get it done quick enough and take advantage of my dead cat bounce we've been talking about, they'll do very, very well. So here, we're in a situation where we're helping them renovate the property. They decide who the contractors are. We have people we can recommend. They can use their own. We put up the funds. Some of it we give, in this case, to the resale renovation program, so it's free. They don't pay it back. Some of the other stuff we're lending them a very, very short-term, very cheap loan. We have some lenders who do that for us. So they have the money to fix the house up. By the time we're done with that house is going to be shining like a new dime. And any buyer who comes in, it's great for them as well because they don't have to worry about this stuff. They don't have to worry about fixing the air conditioner. They don't have to worry about fixing the plumbing problems. They don't have to worry about putting in new carpet and all the other stuff. We get them shined up and ready to go. That's the idea. It's better for for the seller. They get more for the house. It's better for the buyer. They have a lot less they have to do. It is better for everyone. So if you're hearing me say this, again, free money. We are giving away money to fix up houses so we can sell them for more money. It's just part of our business model. We bring people into the office. We go to their house, whatever we need to do. If you have a house to sell, I'll come look at it. And it's not that hard. You just look at what around you is selling. If everybody around you has brown carpet and that's what's selling for the most money, we'll put in brown carpet. If you want to do blue, that's fine too. But you just follow the market trends. Real estate gives you a lot of data, but you have to bother to get it. You have to bother to look at it. So again, if you're hearing this, free money to fix up your house. All you got to do is give me a call. I'm at 661-714-1400. My name again is Rich Sherman. And we'll give you money to fix up your house. We'll give you contractors to fix up your house. Whatever you need, we have found that need. We will fill it. And you'll get more money for your house. That's the idea. We're going to go to break here in a minute. We're going to have to take some commercials. And then when we're done with that, we're going to come back and talk about free money to buy a house. Because we don't just have free money to fix up your house for sale. It's not just free money to sell a house. It's also free money to buy a house. So please stay with us. Listen, because if you listen to this show in its entirety, you will know a lot more about real estate. You'll be in a much better position. And again, free money. So please hang with us. I'm Rich with the Real Estate Fix at KHTS 98.1 AM 1220, your hometown station. Come back after the break. Thanks. Hello, welcome back. I'm Rich Sherman, your host for the Real Estate Fix on KHTS 98.1 AM 1220, your hometown station. And hey, during the break, I just got a couple of calls from folks who heard me talking on earlier. I love it when you guys call in, but when you call in or when you send a text in to my cell phone, I can't call you back or text you until I'm off the air. So I kind of tried between the commercial. I'll try again at the next commercial to finish my thought. But the gal who called in about losing her house, we can help you. I'm sure we can help you. I will call you as soon as the show is over. And thank you for listening. Let's move on. We were talking before the break about free money for do stuff, being the ghost in the machine, and that you finding ways to hack the real estate industry, because we talked about some of the institutional deficiencies that kind of have built up in real estate over the years, and they just sort of are what they are, and there's no point really complaining about them because you're not going to change an entire industry that quickly, although it'd be nice. So what we do is we make them work for us. So let's move on to the next. Let's talk about free money to buy a house. This is one of my favorite things. I'm on a crusade. I'm determined to do this before I shuffle off the coil and to shuffle off the mortal coil and join the choir invisible. I very, very, very much want to see this state, which currently has 44% of the people living here, in rental housing. And that is way too high. We have a higher percentage of rental housing in California than any other state. Think about that for a second. We are the largest. We are the wealthiest state of all 50. Whether we're the nicest or not is up to opinion, I suppose. I like it. But we are the largest, most profitable state in the United States, and yet our percentage of renters in this state is higher than every other state. New York's close. Florida's not far behind. But we are far and away more renters, 44%. The cost of living here is also extremely high. And add to that that there was just recently an AARP poll that said that over 98% of people surveyed said they have to have a home and the equity in that home to be able to retire. I mean, my family's no different. Everyone in my family who's retired has had to have a home to do it. If they did not have a house that they built up equity in over the previous 20, 30, 40 years, they would not be able to retire. So it's very, very important you get into this. And the biggest problem with people buying houses right now, especially first-time buyers, but it's true across the board, is that buzzword we've been talking about for weeks now, affordability, affordability, affordability. It is extremely hard right now, especially for a first-time buyer, to get out of a rental and into a property and into a house they own. Everyone wants to do it. I mean, if you're a renter and you can hear this, please call me after the show. I will get you into a house. And we can often get you in with no money down. I think 2 weeks ago we talked at length about no money down programs and how to get a house with a mortgage, how to get a mortgage with putting no money down, how to buy a house with no money down. There's stuff out there. There's low money down. There's all kinds of stuff out there. The state of California is not unaware of this problem. The federal government is not unaware of this problem. And there are programs out there you can take advantage of. There are also private programs you can take advantage of. So in addition to that, we have a program in my office that we call the Rental Rebate Program. And because I'm on this crusade to get people who are renting into homes, I love renters. I'm a landlord. I have property. I have people rent houses for me, and I tell them the same thing from the day I meet them. Please rent my house. I love it. Thank you. I'll gladly collect your rent. But you can't do this long term. You need to get out of a rental and into a property you own. You need to. My wife and I were talking about this morning. The average age of a first-time buyer, which used to be 25, is now 32. And affordability, I think, is the key to that. It has gone up 7 years. The average first-time buyer is now 32 years old, whereas just a decade ago it was 25. And if that isn't a scary statistic, I don't know what is, because if you're basically losing, on average, 7 years of what you could be building equity with. Don't wait that long. And if you have waited, get into it now. Don't wait another day. Because if you do not own a house, and things keep going the way they're going, and I don't see any reason they're going to change in the next 20, 10, 20 years as far as the overall economic structure of this country or this planet, you're going to have a hard time retiring because Social Security ain't going to do it. Your independent retirement, which is tied to a stock market, may or may not do it if you've got enough money in there, and you've guessed right, but a house always will. Houses run on a 7 to 10-year cycle. Even those people who say bought in, I don't know, April of 2007, which is the absolute peak before the 2008 crash, even those people, you wait 10 years, you're right side up again. Even people who buy at the absolute peak, like April of last year, which is the peak of the pandemic surge, about 10% higher than it is now. Of course, interest rate was also 3.5, so that's pretty good. But even those people who bought at 10% higher than it is now, I promise you, you hold that house for a couple of years, 5, 10 years, you will be right side up. You will also have built in equity because you're buying down the mortgage. All of this stuff is incredibly important, and it's not that difficult. Do not let yourself get talked out of getting into the real estate market. Do not let yourself get talked out of buying a house because it's too complicated. It is only complicated because everyone involved has an interest in keeping it complicated. Because the more complicated it sounds, the easier it is to, for lack of a better description, confuse and take advantage of the consumer. And we seek to fix all that. You guys heard me talk about this before. I work with Sam Chong at the Mortgage Hub. He's fantastic. And one of the many reasons I love working with Sam, and one of the many reasons we recommend him to all of our clients, is because he makes it simple. He does the same thing I do. This does not need to be as complicated as everybody makes it. It really doesn't. You can simplify all of this, but you got to get into the game. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to educate yourself. We'll do all that for you. We want to educate you. Again, purpose of the show, but you got to get into the game. So let's talk a little about the program we have. It's called the Rental Rebate Program. What we do is we will give you back, hand it to you. We will give you back 10% of the rent you have already paid, because that is how serious I am about getting you out of a rental and getting into a house that you own. Because I know, I'm a student of history, and I know, economic history in particular, I know that if the rates of rentals in California continue the way they are, we are going to wind up with a state that is primarily rentals. We're going to wind up with 50, 60% rentals and only 30 or 40% owners. And those owners are not, on average, going to be individuals. They're going to be companies that own apartment buildings or whole swaths of land. They're going to have 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 houses, and you're going to be renting from them. And that is a bad, bad deal. It's great for a company who does that, but it's horrible for the consumer. So you've got to get into this. I'm telling you, I'm like an evangelical preacher on this topic. You have got to get into the game. You have got to start building wealth. If you got kids, you got to get into it because you got to start building generational wealth. They're going to need that too. I mean, I have a daughter who wants to go to college. That's going to be expensive. She should. She better. That's going to be expensive. Now, we're in a position because, as it turns out, I have been following my own advice for quite some time, and I do pretty well. So we should be okay because we have houses that we can draw on to do that. But if we were renting, you know, I'm 52 years old. If my wife and I were still renting, my daughter better develop an outside jump shot or a decent backhand, because she's going to need a scholarship to go to school. I still hope she does that, because Dad would like that. But the reality is, we're okay because we got into real estate, because I bought my first house at 18 because my mom made me. So, and you guys have all heard that story. So you've got to get into the game. You've got to do this stuff. And the rental rebate program will help you do that. If you are renting, the average rent right now in Santa Clarita is about $3,500 bucks a month. So that's $350 bucks a week, or a month rather, that we can give you. So what is that? $3,500. So it's $37,000 a year that you're paying out. That's $3,700 bucks we can hand you. There, here you go. Over 2 years, that's $6,400 bucks. Here you go. 10% of the rent you've already paid. I had a client in the office the other day. They are paying $5,000 a month in rent, which is not unheard of. It's a nice house in Valencia. They're paying $5,000 a month. They heard about this program and went nuts. They thought I was crazy. They've been renting there for 2 years. That means that's $120,000 that they've shelled out in rent that they're never getting back. They get no deduction. They build no equity, just money they paid out. $120,000 in 2 years. We're giving them $12,000. Here's $12,000. Let's go buy a house. You know how much easier it is for a first-time buyer to buy a house when you suddenly have $12,000 in your pocket that you didn't have before? Now, the program has limitations. You know, we can't just, you know, can't give away money crazy because we need to stay in business. But 10% of the rent you have already paid back to go buy a house, I think it's pretty good. 10% back. So again, $5,000 a month that they're paying, we're giving them back $500 of that. At the end of the year, they're paying $60,000 in rent. We're giving them $6,000. Now, we don't give it to you to hold a bank account. You use it as part of buying a house. But some people use it for closing costs. Some people use it for all sorts of things. A lot of people use it for bathtubs and carpet and things like that to improve a house. But you can use it for, it's real money. You can use it for whatever you want. Pay closing costs, do this, do that, do whatever. We will literally give, this is how serious I am about it. We are giving away money to help you get into a house. So if you are renting a property, and again, nothing against landlords. I love landlords. I am a landlord. But if you are a renter, you got to do yourself a favor, man. You just have to. Get out of that renting slog. You have got to get yourself into a house that you own. And we can help you do it. This is what we do. I don't know anybody else who does this sort of thing. But in addition to the programs that are out there that you can take advantage of, that the government offers, the state and the Fed offer, that banks offer, there are also private programs like this. So theoretically, you could buy a house. We have a client we're doing this with now, so it's maybe not so theoretical, but you could buy a house with little or no money down, use the rental rebate program, and that'll cover your closing costs if you can't build into the deal, or you can use it to improve the house or whatever you want. That particular client is now in a situation, because they are going to do 100% financing, or very nearly 100% financing, that they're going to have 12 grand to do whatever they want to the house. And the house is in pretty good shape, at least the one they think they're going to buy, is in pretty good shape. So we'll spend it on something. There's, you know, always find money to spend on a real estate deal and a house for sure. So maybe we'll buy bedroom furniture. I don't know. But you can use it for whatever you want. That is the point. 10% of the rent you have already paid back, like magic. Because again, we see this as the deficiency. Most first-time buyers have a very hard time getting into a house because they don't have enough money. And when you see that the number, the age for the average first-time buyer just in the last decade has gone from 25 to 32, I seek to reverse that. I seek to fix that. 44% is just too high. I mean, the cost of living in California is nothing short of ridiculous right now. I've been reading these numbers for the last couple of weeks. I have them kind of ingrained in my head, but I don't want to get them wrong. Let's talk about just our little Santa Clarita Valley here. The average house in Santa Clarita Valley, according to Zillow, is now renting at $3,300 a month. The average apartment is running at $2,500 a month. And I promise you, both of those numbers will be higher by the end of the year. Guaranteed. The average rent will be up, and so will the for both apartments and for houses. And it'll be up quite a bit. If we don't hit 35 or 38 by the end of the month, by the end of the year for SCV rental houses, I'll be shocked is the average. But right now it's $3,300 a month. According to payscale.com, the SCV, our little Northern LA County, our little area, our little hometown, the housing expenses here are 130% above the national average. Not 5%, not 10%. 130% above the national average. We live in one of the most expensive rental areas in the country. Not Manhattan, it's not Newport Beach, but as far as normal, you know, for what I would call normal bedroom communities, you know, upper middle class sort of communities, which we are, our rent is ridiculous. 130% above normal. If that wasn't crazy enough, California utility prices in Southern California, 10% above average. Transportation costs, 27% above average. Heck, groceries! Groceries in Southern California are 11% above the national average. I don't understand how we in California, we produce so much of this food, pay 11% more than other people in other states. It's just the economy of California, the biggest, most profitable state in the United States. We pay the most. According to the Public Policy Institute, there are 17 million renters in California. That's 13.6 of every single rental in the United States. 360 million people in the United States, but 50 states, but 13.6% of all rentals are in California. And again, 44% of all houses in California are rentals. That's crazy. I have some friends of mine who live in Texas, just moved there, and we were talking about these numbers with them. Texas is what they consider a very high rental rate as well. You know what it is? 22%. 22% of the people living in Texas are in rentals. 44% in California. This is not a contest we want to win. We've got to get that reduced. Homeownership rates in California are the second worst in the United States. The only place where homeownership is worse is in New York, and that's because of the city. If you take the city of New York out of the equation, we are number one. Again, not a contest we want to win. It is expensive to be here. It is expensive to exist here. You got to find ways to hack your way around it because the system is not coming to help you. You have got to learn how the system works. We'll teach you, and you've got to learn how to make it work for you. And we'll teach you how to do that as well. We specialize in doing these things. We specialize. My favorite client in the whole wide world, favorite client ever, is the client who is told they can't do something. I love the client who comes in and says, I can't sell my house because. And then we fix it and they sell their house. I can't buy a house because. And then we fix it and they buy a house. We help people fix their credit all the time. We help them put together the down payments. We help them do all sorts of stuff. Because our mission, if you're renting a house, is to get you into one you own. Our mission, if you're looking to sell a house, is to get that house shined up, done, everything fixed, ready to go, so you can get top dollar for it. That's the idea. Find a need and fill it. People who are looking to sell houses were often selling them way too cheap because their house was too beat up and they didn't have the money to fix the house. They didn't have the $10,000 or $20,000 to just put into a house to get it shined up and ready to go. I do. I've got a business model that allows it. I don't know why other realtors don't do this. Some do, I think. I've never heard of anybody kind of doing it like this, but we'll do it. We'll fix it up for you. You can dictate how it gets done. It's not up to us. And then we'll get your house. We'll get your top dollar for it. If you're a buyer, we'll give you money to buy a house. So listen to what I'm saying. We will give you money to sell your house. We will give you money to buy a house. I am determined, my little one-man band here, my little one-man crusade, I am determined to change the way the real estate market functions, in California at least. Because, and again, nothing against the other fellow, my fellow realtors. I know some fantastic realtors. I know people in every corner of this business that I think incredibly highly of. I know some that I don't think so highly of, but most of them are fantastic, and they're trying their best to help. This is just a better way to do it. This is just another way to do it. This is just more value-added stuff for the consumer. So again, I cannot say this enough. If you're looking to sell a house, we will give you money to do it. If you're looking to buy a house, we will give you money to do it. I don't know how much more of an incentive I can give you. I don't know, maybe free beer. I have no idea. But whatever that incentive needs to be, we will do it because I'm determined to see that number come down in my lifetime. 44% is ridiculous, and it's gone up every year. The amount of renters in the state is insane. Again, for those of us like me who are landlords, not a bad gig. But there's plenty of money to be made and still reduce that number. There's plenty of money to be made and get other people into owning houses. There's plenty of money to be made and teach other people how to become landlords. I got into this position because when I got into real estate, some very, very nice people were very nice to me and taught me how to do this stuff. That's when I got started. Oh, I guess it was more adorable at 19 than I am now. I don't know. But they were very nice to me and they taught me a lot and I owe them a ton because I own property now because people who are smarter than me sat me down and did the same thing I'm trying to do en masse with the show and with everything I do in my career. I'm trying to take the same sort of opportunities that I was given, the same sort of knowledge that I was given, and share that with other people because I want to see other people succeed. It is nuts to me that nearly half of the people living in California think they can't buy a home. They can, but they think they can't and are stuck renting. I mean, my gosh, when these people came into the office and they're renting at $5,000 a month, that's not that hard. I mean, to get them into a house, I mean, at $5,000 a month, you're looking at about $700,000, a little short of $700,000 in a house. We can find you a house for $700,000 in the Santa Cruz Valley. There are some. All we need is one. And we'll find it. We'll get it done. We'll find it for them. I promise. If you guys are listening, you know who you are. I don't want to use your name on the air. But you know who you are. I promise we will find you a house. I promise this is going to work. Because the rents here are so high, they're not that far off. And in some cases, they're higher than your mortgage payment would be. So why would you continue to rent? Because your credit's not good enough? Well, then let's fix it. Because you don't have a down payment? Let's give you one. We will find a way to fix it. This is what we do. It drives me crazy when people cannot achieve these things that are right there in front of them because they're just missing that one element. If I recarpet my house, I can get top dollar. If I can get top dollar, I can go to these other things. If I can just get a down payment together, then I can buy a house. I can go to these other things. We can fix those. We can bridge those gaps for you. And we do a lot of it for completely for free. When we give people money to buy a house, you don't pay it back. Here you go. It's a program. It's a grant program, basically. And it's privately run. So here you are. You don't pay it back. It's done. Same thing. We give people money to fix up their houses. You don't pay it back. We just pay for it. Done. Job done. Everybody's happy. So that's the idea. There is enough money in real estate. There's enough money in my business in my office, that we can afford to do these things. And that's the idea. Everything I do is basically a pay it forward business model. And I know that's weird. Because when I tell people this, they kind of go, okay, whatever. They either don't believe me or they think I'm crazy. Maybe the latter one might be a little true, but it is absolutely true. The pie is big enough. There is enough money to do this. You just have to do more deals. That's all. And when you're giving away money, people tend to come on to see you again. Not that hard. I'm also pretty good at this. My staff is really good at this. And we dot our I's and cross our T's. We take care of our clients. So yeah, it's not that hard. Whatever you're looking to accomplish, we will find a way to get it done. We can get you top dollar for it and get you a new house, whatever it is you need to do. We don't just throw money at it, you know, silly. It's got to make sense, and it always does, but we will find a way to get this fixed. So the last thing I want to talk about, besides giving you money to buy a house, giving you money to rent a house, our last segment today, we're going to go out here in a second and do some more commercials, but our last thing I want to talk about when we come back is how to defend yourself from foreclosure, how to defend yourself from some of the malfeasance of these banks. And we do that for free. I've been in this fight for 32 years now, and I know how to win. I never win all the fights, but I win a lot more than I lose. Our success rate's about 80%. So when we get back, we're going to talk about some basic stuff for the foreclosure defense and some of the basics of how to get through that, some of the stuff we can do for you. So we're a one-stop shop for fixing real estate problems. Hence the name of the show, The Real Estate Fix with Rich. That's where it came from. So you're listening to The Real Estate Fix with Rich. I'm Rich Sherman, the Rich in the title, on KHTS 98.1 AM 1220, your hometown station. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to save yourself, how to protect yourself from some banking malfeasance. It's good stuff. Join us when we're back from the break. Thanks, guys. Hi, Hi there, guys. Hi, it's Rich Sherman. You're listening to 98.1 FM, your hometown station, AM 1220, and I'm Rich Sherman with The Fix with Rich. And to wrap up today's show, last segment of the show today, we talked a little about institutional inequity and how we can, or institutional problems with real estate, and how you can make them work for you. I mean, in our case, we throw a lot of money at it. So again, you're looking to buy a house, we'll give you money to do it. You're looking to sell a house, we'll give you money to help do it. But let's talk about the third leg of this stool that kind of makes up my my business and has for quite some time, which is defense. Because unfortunately, and I know some of the people out there will be shocked, banks do not always follow the law. Mortgage servicers do not always follow the law. Often they are awful at this. I will simply tell you how this works. Every bank in the country, every mortgage servicer in the country, has some version of what they call an asset loss department. That is where mortgages go to die. That is when you have a mortgage that is problematic, or they have decided it's problematic, either for non-payment. This is the other option. Sometimes if you're overpaying, if your mortgage is, you know, $4,000 a month and you're paying them $5,000 a month, they're going to put you in asset loss as well, even though they're not losing anything, because they want to get rid of that mortgage. That's called self-discounting. Your mortgage is worth a lot more money to them. See, when you get a mortgage payment, what that payment is the minimum payment you can make where the bank makes the most amount of money. So when you pay more on that, you're self-discounting your loan, and thus the bank wants to get rid of it. That comes up a lot. People get shocked by that. But why is my loan? I overpay my mortgage. I'm a good consumer. I'm actually paying it ahead. Why are they selling off my loan? Because you pay interest on the amount that you owe. If you owe less and you're knocking it down on a regular basis, and the bank realizes that, which by the way is a fantastic strategy for you to follow as a homeowner, they're going to bounce your loan most of the time. Because they're going to sell it off in the secondary market because they know you are self-discounting. You're making your loan worth less to them, which is good for you, but it's worth less to them. So let's talk about a little asset loss. I call asset loss departments at banks the repeating idiot machine. And the reason I call it the repeating idiot machine is this. Let's say you get a job in asset loss at any bank in the country. I don't know why you'd set out to do that, but let's just say that's where you wind up. And asset loss, the way it's handled is, the banks pay people who work there less than every other department in the bank. So the people who work in asset loss, who are the people you need to help you if you're in trouble, if you got a COVID deferment or you got something like, you know, whatever your situation is, they're the ones who need to handle this. They're the ones who, if they do their job badly, you lose your house. Again, they're the ones who, if they do the job badly, you lose your house. Heartening to know that the people who are doing that job are often minimum wage employees. So think about this next time you call a bank. If they could have managed the phrase, "Would you like fries with that?" they'd be making more money at Burger King than they would working for SLS or SPS or one of those wonderful companies. Carrington, any of those guys, PHH, any of those guys, any of the maximum offenders. And the reason they do that is very simple. They can. Every bank considers asset loss the redheaded stepchild. I was at a shareholders meeting with B of A about a decade ago where they stood up very proudly at the podium and said, "We are spending 6% less this year on asset loss than we spent last year." And the crowd went crazy. They said, "We are spending 6% less," and this crowd of shareholders for B of A all applauded like crazy. I don't understand that as a metric. Tell me you have fewer foreclosures this year. That is a metric I'll believe in. Better yet, tell me that you're losing less money in asset loss this year. That would be extremely important as a shareholder. But that you've spent less money on it? That's not an indicator of anything. That's awful. People who work in asset loss work wherever office space is cheapest, typically. So a lot of windowless basements in places you wouldn't walk down the street at night. They get paid less than everybody else in the bank. And the reason I call it the repeating idiot machine is if they are good at what they do, they will get plucked out of that department and put someplace else because the bank will identify them as an underused, utilized asset because, if Bob over there could sit in that cubicle over there in the dark, can do this well at minimum wage with nothing, imagine what Bob could do for our bank if we plucked him out of here and put him in, processing and gave him a window to look out of. They identify you as an undervalued asset, and they move you around. So even if you are good, you get moved out of there. The number of times I've met people in asset loss, and I start talking to them, and I realize they're good at this, and they're like, you're not going to be here next week. That's just what happens. So what we do is we step into that. We get it. We know how this works. So if you've got a problem with a mortgage, we can step in there for you, and we can get it fixed because we know the law. I've got a file right now where the bank is violating, this is Carrington, again, they're violating the RESPA guidelines, they're violating the HBOR, and they're violating the CARES Act. I brought all three of those things to their attention, and they do not care. And what's shocking to me is Carrington especially just shelled out $111 million to voluntarily settle a class action lawsuit. They got dinged by the CFPB for another $5.25 million. No change. No change in their behavior. They are still overcharged. By the way, those fines and those things were all for overcharging clients. If you have a reverse mortgage with Carrington and you can hear my voice or you know someone who does, for goodness sake, please, I'm begging you, ask them to contact Carrington, get a copy of the accounting on your reverse mortgage, because they are stealing. There's no other way to put it. They are stealing. If they stole your bike, the sheriff would come and arrest them. You get your bike back. But what happens in this case is the CFPB fines them a lousy $5.25 million. You should also know they're a $126 billion company. $5 million, they get shelled out $111 million to settle a class action lawsuit, and they go right back to what they were doing. And the reason for that is very simple. It is profitable for them to do so. They have no issue about stealing from little old ladies, little old men. They have no issue with stealing from the retired because, hey, old people are the easiest to steal from, I guess. That is how they do their thing. And I hope Carrington hears this, and I beg you guys to please sue me when I say this, because the truth is defense for any sort of libel. So go right ahead. I stand by what I said. Carrington is stealing from their own clientele. It's embarrassing. It's bad. They've been caught twice, and they still haven't fixed it. It's infuriating. But that's because the people in asset loss aren't very good at their jobs. They don't need to be. They don't care. There's this mix of aptitude and attitude that they just don't give a damn. You're bothering them when you call them, and yet they do their job horribly. And if you call them on it because you don't want to lose your house, they have the audacity to get mad at you when you're the one who owns the home. By the way, most of the people working asset loss don't own houses. They just, again, couldn't get the job at Burger King. So they wound up at asset loss at SLS or Carrington or one of these things. They don't care and they're bad at their job. That's why we have to do this. Because if people in asset loss were competent, I wouldn't have to do this. I wouldn't have to explain to them that, and this is a true story, I sent an email. I said, this is the way the CARES Act works. This is what you have to do. The guy at the bank actually said, we don't have that here. You don't have a federal law at your bank? I'm quite sure you do. I don't know what state you're in, what mental state you're in, but I promise you the law in the United States applies to you. It absolutely does. And I had to convince them of the law. Most of the people who work in asset loss don't even know the law. I mean, how could you possibly work in a department like asset loss, where if you do your job well, people keep their house, if you do it badly, they lose their house, and first of all, not care, and be that ignorant? But this is what we deal with, and the reason is very simple. If the banks would spend money on the people working in asset loss, you know, pay a manager an asset loss $200,000 instead of the $100,000 they pay them now, in most cases, you'd get a higher quality of person. They might actually give a damn about what they're doing. They might actually know what they're doing. But they don't. And if this is the topic I'm most passionate about, it's because I see people lose their houses almost every day because of simple, stupid incompetence. Not on the client's part, on the bank's part. We have a client right now who's liable to lose his house because he didn't circle his income. Even though they have the income, they know what it is, he didn't circle it on his bank statement. That is their purpose. They drove him so crazy, he had a stroke. We've been trying for the better part of 4 years to get his loan modification, which they have offered him and reneged repeatedly. We are trying to get it done, and they just don't care. They drove this very nice guy who's got two little kids and a wife to support. They drove him to a point where he had a stroke. And now our problem is because he had a stroke, he can't work. So because he's not working, we're having an even harder time trying to save his house. This is work that should have been done by the bank years ago. But they kept coming up with excuse after excuse and reason after reason, all of which easily disprovable, all of it demonstrably wrong, and they don't care. We're trying desperately to keep this client out of court because if he has to sue the bank, it's going to cost him $40,000 to $50,000, which he does not have. And that's even with Jane taking the case pro bono and all the other stuff that we do for clients. Still going to cost him a fortune. He's still going to pay filing fees, and it's going to take him 3 or 4 years. And this is a simple matter. He qualifies. I don't even know where we're having the argument. But here we are, still arguing about it. All because a bank is incompetent. Here's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, the concept that asset loss at every one of these banks doesn't seem to get is keeping a client paying you on the debt that they owe is more valuable than flushing the debt, than liquidating the debt. Because they will, even if the mortgage is 2%, 2% of something is still more than 100% of nothing. I don't care what business school you went to. I don't care what degrees you hold. 2% of something is still better than 100% of nothing. And they just don't seem to get that. I don't know why they don't get that, but they don't. You know how many times you have to explain it to them? So when it comes to the topic of defending yourself from foreclosure, there are certain things you need to do. Number one is you need to create the narrative. You need to create the case. This is how I got here. This is how I'm getting out. You have to explain to the bank why it's in their interest to continue the loan. And you have to explain it to them like they're a 4-year-old who doesn't know math. Because that's just it. Now, when you get into the upper echelons of the bank, there's some great people. They know what they're doing. But the people who are answering the phones and the workaday people who are in asset loss are largely morons. It is unfortunate to have to say that, but they are. And I've got 30 years of experience that tells me that. And when we come across somebody who's great, who's really good at the job, and really cares about what they're doing, they're fantastic, they're gone in 6 months. Because, again, it's the repeating idiot machine. They pick them up, they take them, they move them someplace else. Now, there are exceptions, and thank goodness for those, but they are few and far between. That's why they're called exceptions. So if you've got a Parkinson problem, if you, for example, had a forbearance and you can't get it into a deferment, which were they tacking on the end of the loan, or the bank is suddenly saying, hey, you need to cut us a check for $60,000 or $70,000, we're taking your house, call us. We know how to do it. We know the CARES Act. We know RESPA. We know the Homeowner Bill of Rights backwards and forwards. We have attorneys on staff who can help you should it get to that. There's all sorts of stuff we can do to help you. But the key is you got to call. You got to seek that help because you're not going to get it on your own. I mean, it's like if you had a burst appendix, you wouldn't stay home and just hurt. You'd go to the doctor. Otherwise, you're going to die. It's the same thing when it comes to mortgages. If you've got a problem with the mortgage, you've got to reach out for help. Otherwise, you're going to lose your house. And they are absolutely serious about it. The bank will take your house, liquidate it, throw you out in the street, and not give it a second thought because they're banks. Being mad at a bank for acting scummy about money is like being mad at a shark for swimming. When a shark eats a surfer, the shark doesn't think, oh, that guy's a single father of four. I better not eat him. I'll wait for the next one. No. The shark thinks, I'm hungry. It looks like a seal, and it eats it. That's it. That's how banks work. You got money we can get? We're taking it. Don't put them in that position. Don't give them that opportunity. Mount a defense. And the sooner you start, the better. So you're having any trouble with your mortgage, whatever it is, whether it's they don't have you on the loan properly or they can't get stuff worked out, I can help you with it. All you got to do is give me a call. I know we got a bunch of calls during that while we're on the air, so I appreciate you guys calling in while we're on the air. I will call all of you back as soon as we're off. My personal phone number is 661-714-1400. Again, that's my personal phone number, 661-714-1400. If I don't answer it, send me a text. I promise I will call everybody back. I've got 7 or 8 calls we've been on the air today. I will call it, and thank you. I love getting calls. I will call every one of you back. I'll call you back personally. We'll go through your situation. We will get this fixed. After you have till 4 in the morning this morning, we will get it done. It's not a problem. You can also email in at The Fix with Rich. Great email address, The Fix with Rich. My name is Rich Sherman. This has been The Fix with Rich on KHTS 98.1. I hope you guys have had a great week. I'm looking forward